Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Welcome back to Inside Look at Legal. My name is Caroline Currier, and I'm here with Luke Campbell from Edward Jones. And today we are finishing our two-part series on investment strategies and how those change throughout time. So last episode, part one, was about preparing for retirement. And part two is really about living in retirement, mm-hmm. right? And how that strategy sort of changes throughout that period of time. Mm-hmm. So I'll let Luke take it away. Yeah.
So living in retirement is the time when you turn your income off. So whenever you decide to retire, 62, 67, whatever it is, hopefully your preparation for living in retirement started back at least in your 40s, because if you wait to prepare for retirement the day you retire, it can be very scary. But you living in retirement, you go from accumulating a lot of wealth to now you have the wealth, and that investment strategy is different, and it's going to be different for everyone. Again, there's not a one size fits all approach where I can tell somebody, if you do these four things, you're going to be perfect. Everybody's situation is different. And so that is the first thing I have to understand. But once I understand their situation, there are many things that you can do in retirement to make it successful. You can have some guaranteed sources of income through some annuities. Mm-hmm. You can have your investments go from growth investments to more income providing investments, the ones that pay dividends. So now you're receiving income from your investments. You can leverage insurance. There's a lot of different things. Those strategies change. And again, it does depend on the person and how much they have and what their goals are in retirement. But my main job is, and what I try to help my clients understand is, we're going to expect you to at least live in retirement for 25, 30 years, depending on your retirement. So you got to think about all the money you've saved up.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is not just to live off Social Security, because if that's your goal in life, it's going to be a very boring retirement. You're going to barely be able to pay your house payment, and you're not going to go travel to see your grandkids mainly. So that's not the goal. The goal is to your Social Security should just be what you travel on. All the things that you've saved up, all those assets you've saved all your life, those are what you actually live on, and that provides your standard of living. But if it's got to last 30 years, you need to have a really good strategy in place, because I hear it all the time when I first start working with a client, and I'll tell them, we're going to build a plan at least till you live till 90 years old. I have no idea when you're going to die, but let's say it's 90 years old. And everybody mm-hmm. says, there's no way I'm going to live that long. My mom, my parents died in their 70s. They died in their, they'll never make it to 90. The problem is, what if you do? And if you run out of money when you're 75 mm-hmm. and you're still alive, that's a bad situation. So I say, let's err on the side of you living till 90.
Yeah.
Because if you do die at 75, unfortunately you pass away, you will have some assets to give to mm-hmm. your beneficiaries.
Legacy,
so let's plan to live at least till 90 years old. And that number, that age is just going to continue to increase. I mean, the teenagers today, I think I saw a study where infants that were born in 2019 mm-hmm. will live, there'll be someone that lives to 110 years old. A large part of that population will live past 100 years old.
Wow.
So that's a long time to live in retirement, and we have to have a strategy in place to make sure your income lasts that long.
Yeah. Even from an estate planning perspective, that sort of changes the way I view how you stretch distributions for mm-hmm. children. Because if I know now that my clients that are having kids, let's say last year they had a kid, their kid's going to live longer. We might not do the distributions at 21, 25, 30.
Right.
We might be more looking at, hey, let's start at 30 mm-hmm. and then let's go 40 and then let's go 50, because guess what? Your kid's going to be living for a long time.
Right.
And here's the stage of life. I try to, when I'm telling my clients about those, try to say what stage, like what's going on at this stage of life for your kid, right? Mm-hmm. They're 30, maybe they're getting married, maybe they're putting down payment on a house, things like that. But that's totally beside the point of retirement planning. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting that people are living that much longer. Mm-hmm. So that changes things for me as far as even planning for my elderly clients, right. And, mm-hmm. you know, and knowing that. So we talked about fixed income, right? And mm-hmm. how, I guess, your Social Security should be more of like a rainy day
right.
fund
yeah,
rather than mm-hmm. than your income. And you mentioned annuities. Mm-hmm. What about IRAs, retirement accounts? Mm-hmm. Do you, I mean, I know that you work with a lot of those, but are your dollars best stored in this retirement account? I mean, as far as...
For the most part, because you have so many options inside that retirement account. You
right.
Every investment option's available to you in there. And once you're over 59 and a half, mm-hmm. you can access it penalty-free. And then, you have to claim it as income if it's in a pre-tax or a traditional IRA. But
right.
the retirement accounts, it is the best just because you have... so many investment options available to you, and it's not taxable. Those gains, while it's sitting there, is not taxable to you at that time. Versus if you just opened a brokerage account or a single account in your name, that income or the increase of that account would be taxable each year. And so it's a good way to defer taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the best thing about a retirement account is you're deferring your taxes and you have so many options inside that account.
Right. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I'll say from a Medicaid planning perspective, I tell my clients, you know, if they have money in their IRA, let's say you have a client that has $300,000 in their IRA mm-hmm. and $300,000 in an investment account. So let's mm-hmm. say total $600,000. I am more apt to advise my client, spend this money from your IRA. Mm-hmm. Don't take necessarily... maintain, I guess, that growth strategy that you were talking about, how you kind of transition from growth to income mm-hmm. accruing for the purpose of, for long-term care, if you go into a nursing home, let's say you have, you know, $300,000 in your investment account, $300,000 mm-hmm. in the IRA, like we talked about, you're having to take those funds from the IRA to pay that bill mm-hmm. no matter what. And not only are you having to take those funds, but you're having to pay taxes on them.
Right.
So let's say that that ends up sort of being the last resort. People don't want to pay all the taxes on the IRA on top of having to pay the $6,000 a month for the nursing home bill.
Right.
So I always try to kind of do a balance with the IRAs. And I never tell my clients not to put money in their IRAs, right? Because that's mm-hmm. important. It's your retirement. But when I'm doing like a crisis Medicaid plan, or I'm just talking to some clients that are getting an estate plan and they're in their 80s, and mm-hmm. I notice that they have... a pretty significant amount. It's usually when I'm dealing with a widow or a widower mm-hmm. that they have a really big IRA
right.
because they've accrued their spouse's IRA. They've inherited that. So when I see that, I let them know you need to make sure that you're taking that income and you're spreading that tax mm-hmm. out, because if you end up in a nursing home and you're having to withdraw those funds at a higher rate, you're going to pay a lot more tax then.
Right.
So make sure that you're talking with your financial advisor or your CPA about how much you can take and kind of how to spread that out.
Yeah.
Because ideally what would happen is you would never have to pay a nursing home bill. Everybody wants to, you know, pass away in their sleep.
Yeah.
And all those IRA funds go to your kids, mm-hmm. right? And then now we know with the Secure Act that they have 10 years to spend it,
yeah.
which, you know, ends up being a tax bill for them, but it's free money to them also. Mm-hmm. That said, it doesn't always happen that way. So I like to tell my clients, if there's money in your IRA, spend it. Mm-hmm. Because that money in, you know, let's say in an investment account or a bank account, savings account, you can still use those funds, right, to pay these bills. But that IRA, you're just going to pay more and more tax mm-hmm. as you have to withdraw those funds to pay those bills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing with investment strategies and seniors that I see firsthand that I think is really interesting, that they consider those IRAs. And that even goes for a spouse. So I mm-hmm. have a client right now I'm working with, and her husband is in a nursing home. She's not. She's living at home, and she has an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
But for Medicaid purposes, her IRA counts against their total as a whole of assets. Mm-hmm. So then the Medicaid office is saying, well, you guys have, you know, $200,000 in assets in this IRA. And she's like, well, it's my money. I worked for it. This is my retirement account. But even so, I mean, it's counting against her husband. So we're working with that to get him qualified. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there are strategies when I'm dealing with a situation like that where I can reduce the amount of money in that IRA tax-free with some kind of rollover into a very Medicaid-specific targeted annuity mm-hmm. within another IRA. Mm-hmm. So it gets complicated, and that might be another podcast to talk through the details on that. But there are things that we can do with the IRA. But at the end of the day, if you're in your 80s and you've got more than $300,000 in your IRA, it's time to spend that puppy.
Yeah.
Just little by little. Mm-hmm. And I encourage my clients to spend their money while they're alive and they're here and they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Buy a boat, buy an RV, go see your grandkids, you spend it. It's your money. Mm-hmm. But it's always a shame when people are really proud of their IRA and how much they've saved, and then they're having to spend it all down on that nursing facility.
Yeah, that is. It's unfortunate. Luckily, I agree. I think hopefully before their 80s and the crisis happens, in a perfect world, you have an income distribution plan where you mm-hmm. start distributing money out of that retirement account in your late 60s and all through your 70s, and you're using those distributions you can spend it on good things, like fun things, and then sometimes you can spend it on, take a distribution out and spend it on insurance. You can spend it on giving. You can give to your charities. There's so many tax things that you can do that way to save your money. Mm-hmm. So, but it is, you're right. If you're in a crisis, it is unfortunate to see where they have to liquidate IRAs to pay their bill, and then they're also going to get a tax bill on that. So hopefully we start with my clients, and hopefully the plan is where as soon as they retire, we start taking distributions out of those retirement accounts to pay themselves.
Right.
And if you pay yourselves along the way, at least if you do have a crisis in your 80s and you may not have long-term care insurance, if you don't, at least you've spent down for 15 years, and so you won't have as much the amount of retirement assets you have left may not be as big. And then you spend that down and the Medicaid kicks in. But you're not having to spend down $400,000 in a year.
Right, right.
To do that. So.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, ideally, if you're working with Luke and I earlier in life, Medicaid is not even a relevant word to you, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've got your trust and your power of attorney, and mm-hmm. you've also got maybe a long-term care insurance policy that's going to pay out a certain amount of sickness. And we... You know, at my office, at least, there are several strategies that we can use to even reduce an estate for the purpose of, you know, kids being able to manage their parents' assets if there is a health problem. Mm-hmm. But also, you don't have to worry about that when it comes to Medicaid. So, you know, or I guess nursing facility care, because like I said, if you're working with Luke and I and you've got this plan, mm-hmm. then you're not really worried about Medicaid.
Right.
You won't need
it.
Yep. So, very cool. Okay. Did we miss anything?
No, I think we touched it all. I think the biggest thing is hopefully people are thinking about living in retirement before they live in retirement. They need to be thinking about living in retirement and what that looks like as hopefully as late as in their 50s. Mm-hmm. And they work with you and I, they work with a professional that will understand what living in retirement's like, because we didn't even talk about your spending, your budget, your mm-hmm. lifestyle is going to change a little bit because you're not earning income.
Right.
But that's where if you're working with someone and you think about living in retirement and you work on it much earlier before you get into retirement, then you're going to have a nice, successful, because the goal is to work all of our lives, accumulate wealth, and travel and do whatever we want to do in retirement. And you can do that if we plan sooner than later.
Right. So. And just a side note on the long-term care insurance policy, I think we went over this a little bit, but I'll reiterate. you're not always, you know, I think people in their 80s get discouraged because they say, oh my gosh, well, I'll never qualify for that now, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm 75. It's not always too late at that age. Yeah. So Luke mentioned pulling funds from a retirement account to buy a long-term care insurance policy. That's mm-hmm. a great strategy, an mm-hmm. excellent one, and one that I've recommended to a couple of my clients that are worried about long-term care, and they do have excess funds in their retirement account. When I say excess, I just mean they've got adequate assets outside of that retirement account where they can do that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important thing to note for any of you listeners over 65 that are stressed out about long-term care insurance. It's not too late. No, call Luke and ask. Yeah. He can help you out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess this was our segment on living in retirement and how investment strategies change as people, you know, grow older into that retirement phase. I think that's all for today. Yep. Thanks for listening. This, again, is Luke Campbell from Edward Jones, Caroline Currier. This was Inside Look at Legal, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.